Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
You know, he's very simply explaining English. The visible was made out of the invisible. You say, well, man, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. That's not true.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
There was a book that was written in 1999 called Hallmark, A History of the London Assay Office. And the author, Forbes, went on to document the whole trade of goldsmithing, really documenting the oldest form of consumer protection. And the way it was done in the area of gold was really for the last 700 years that goldsmiths would take the gold, and it was an independent testing and marking of gold or other precious metals to guarantee the conformity to legal standards of purity. And so, for the last 700 years, anytime you would know that it was a genuine gold, pure gold, they would mark it. It would be a mark that now is recognized actually by a whole other commission that does it, but up to this point, it was done by this hallmarking. That particular metaphor, that picture of gold, was the same concept that Peter said in 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, the testing, the melting pot of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, that though it, your faith, be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And just as that hallmark was a stamp of acceptance and certification that it was genuine, it was pure of quality, it was officially accepted, faith is compared to this gold in value and refining. So how do you know if your faith is genuine and pure and true? God puts you and I and our faith through the testing, through suffering, to see whether it is pure and true. And that's why it's so important when you end up looking at what I want to look at today, this whole area of faith. Does your faith have a hallmark? Is it genuine? Is it true? Because in our world today, there is nothing going to be done to encourage your faith in Christ. And it was no different than it was in the days in which the book of Hebrews was written. And the writer here makes this statement, and then for the rest of chapter 10, all of chapter 11, and down through chapter 12, verse about through 3, he gives an exposition of what faith is. What's the expression of a Christian's faith? That's what you find in verse 1 through 3. It's the particulars that he mentions in verse 1 and 2. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. There are two parts there. Let me come back to it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. What is he saying in all that? What's the expression of that? Let me maybe better say this is what it's not. You know what it's not? It's not blind superstition. It's not positive thinking. It's not hopeful optimism. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Listen, it's a step in the light. In addition to that, it's not faith in faith. And my question to you would be, all right, what are you putting your faith in? You putting your faith in your own works and being good enough? You putting your faith in your religion? You putting your faith in what? That's why the writer of Hebrews says, now let me give you the expression of this. Let me explain this to you. This is what we're talking about, faith. Very simply, faith is a confidence and conviction. A confidence and conviction in a Christ-like life. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me give to you what I mean by this, because I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. If you don't understand this, you will have people say, well, you know, I have this faith. Great, what do you mean by faith? Well, so-and-so, they got faith. I mean, look at that, don't they look faithful? I mean, look, they're going to church, they're doing the right things, they're saying the right things, and And that's why he says, listen, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know what the word substance means? It means assurance. It's the language of the day. It would have been a deed to property, substance, standing on something. It's standing on the things hoped for. I'm afraid in our terminology today, the word hope sounds like just a wish. But in the context of Scripture, hope is this assurance based on Christ's word. You don't live under the sense of, I'm just having this feeling. Faith is a substance. It's an assurance. Listen, our emotions are the shallowest part of our nature. Our faith is the deepest work in a man. If you end up putting your beliefs on this feeling, my friend, you will end up having an up and down Christian life that you will one day, man, this is great, and this preacher's good, and I'm doing great, and something will happen financially, something will happen in your family, something will happen, and your emotions go low, and you will be riding the worst roller coaster of your life spiritually. That's why he says that it's confidence, it's faith is the substance of things hoped for. He also says, along with that, it's a conviction. That's what he used the term in verse 1, the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence is absolute availability. He says it's the evidence of things, the same word, conviction of things hoped for. Because you're going to have people, you're going to have skeptics going to say, hey, prove there's a God. But you can't ultimately, as a finite creature, prove there's an infinite God. The better thing to try and say to a person, well, prove there's a God, is to say to them, prove there's not a God. Prove there's not a God. Otherwise, you get in this sense, well, now I got to intellectually match which for which. And that's why he says it's the conviction, the evidence of things hoped for. And notice what he says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. It's not what they did, but what God said. It wasn't the responsibility of man. It was the revelation of God. That's the only way to live, by faith. When you live by faith, someone has said, you live above sea level. You get to the point of realizing that, as he says in verse 3, through faith we understand. You see, faith is not contrary to reason. It is beyond reason. Do you understand that? It's not, I just got to throw it to the whim and there's no reason to what you really believe. There's no logic to it. It's beyond that, which is the hangup of lots of folks that don't come to Christ lots of folks that will come to church and hear it all intellectually, but they don't mix faith in because there's some things that say, well, I got to understand everything before I really can believe that. And man says many times, well, prove this religion to me. Listen, God doesn't have to prove anything to any man. There are people who say, well, I would believe if I really saw something, if I saw that healing and man, I saw that guy really genuine, not a fake deal, but if he really got healed, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Because according to God's word, if you don't believe God's word right out here, you're not going to believe anything else. If God Almighty listened, which he could right now, come up here and down to Guam and peel back our roof and go boo, you'd say, I believe. No, you wouldn't. He could, but you wouldn't. Because you won't even take time to take this little book right here and spend time every day saying, God, I want to know about you. This is God's autobiography, my friend. And it's not necessarily about faith. But he's saying that faith, this is the kind of faith. It is confidence and it is conviction in something that you can actually believe. God could do miracles again. You look at Christ's life, he did miracles all the time. And many times it seemed his attitude was, shh, don't say anything. Don't tell anybody. Why is it today when you see people doing miracles, it's like, whoa, man, spread it out all over. Because you know why? The source of that is the problem. And where I'm trying to get you to the point today is just lay a groundwork for what the writer of Hebrews was expositing, what the minor prophet Habakkuk 2:4 said, the just will live by faith. And just as it was in Habakkuk's day, as it was in our day, there is so much turmoil and so many difficulties and so much pressure that you will end up finding that it is faith that becomes our best logic. That's why when Jesus said to the disciples feeding the 5,000, how much food do we have? You know what? It's illogical, it seems, on the human level. But on the spiritual level, it was all kinds of logic. Good night, nurse. Hey, great opportunity. God just provided. Bam. He did provide all of it. And you get to the place, you start realizing that God, you will and you can and you want to end up working through the things that are unseen and to finish. That's why he said in verse 3 that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And see that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, he's very simply explaining English. The visible was made out of the invisible. You say, well, man, if I can't see it, I don't believe it. That's not true. And you're not being honest with yourself because you believe in things that you don't see. I don't see your brain, but I believe you got one. You don't see an air, but you breathe it. Listen, there are signals going on right now. Right now. You don't see, and I don't see. But without them, you wouldn't hear me right now. Invisible signals. Signals. Some of you had pagers. Some of you have phones right now. Where'd that signal come from? Is it any less real than my voice right now? No. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you have friends. Maybe some of you sitting with my voice right now. Some of you listening to my radio. It's keeping you from believing in Jesus Christ because your logic is going to send you straight to crisis hell, my friend. Because you're trying to figure it all out. You're trying to figure out life. Figure out all the reason. I've tried that religion, and you know, I've tried that, and I just don't feel like it. Really? Well, what do you have? What's your assurance that someday when life ends, and it will for every human being, as it did for tens of thousands of people today, and they stand naked before a holy God, a loving God that said, I gave you my son. I sent him to earth. He died on the cross, fulfilling all the sacrifice for mankind, past, present, future. Because God, I so love the world that I gave my only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him won't perish, have everlasting life. Hey, does your faith need to be explained or expressed? You leaning on logic, you leaning on your feelings rather than on that courage and confidence in a Christ-like life. The writer expositing out of Hebrews 2 went on and gave us lots of examples of those that went on before us. That starting next week, we're going to look into chapter 11 and all the examples of those that have done the very things that if you asked them, they'd go, oh, I don't want to be in that hallway of faith. I don't belong there, but they are. And ultimately, when he got with all those examples, he finished in chapter 12 the exhortation to live out the Christian faith. You can end up living by faith, Christian. You really can. You say, how do you know how many problems I have? And I'm trying. And listen, we've said it many times before, the Christian life's not hard. It's impossible. So how do you end up developing a relationship with Christ? By faith. By faith. God says, I want to do that. I want it to be a hallmark. Joyce C. Hall, he understood the power of the word hallmark. Fact of the matter is, and since 1927, he took that word because he was reading the same material that I said to you at the beginning of the message. He found out that in the goldsmithing, way, way back, they'd take that gold and they would stamp on it, genuine, pure, true. And since his last name was Hall, I'm going to take that name, Hallmark. Hey, my name, Hallmark, Hallmark. I'm going to put it on every postcard we put out. I'm going to start putting out Christmas wrapping. I'm going to start making TV specials. And put the word Hallmark. You know what? When he decided to go in that direction, every advertising agency in his day mocked him. What? Putting your name Hall, making it a Hallmark, putting it on every... You're crazy. It'd never been done before. He did it. Yes, it proved out to be true, didn't it? My question to you is, my friend, did you have a Hallmark of your faith? How true is it? How genuine is it?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.